With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is The Fan. I'm Chris Mack. I almost called it The Fan Morning Show. It's not. It's 93.7 The Fan. Fan Morning Show will be tomorrow from 5:40 to 10 and every weekday, and I'm a part of that, but I'm also doing this thing here on a Sunday morning with you until 9 o'clock. A weird Sunday morning to wake up anywhere in the U.S. as protests and demonstrations and, in some cases, out-and-out riots scar the landscape most of the day yesterday, and you wake up this morning looking around trying to assess the damage both mentally and physically to our society. Lots of serious things to discuss, and we will discuss them because you can't really pull apart sports from life on a morning like this. Jesse Washington, senior writer for ESPN's The Undefeated, will join me to discuss some of those big issues in 15 minutes from now. And at 8:40, we'll talk a little bit of hockey as well as life with Jesse Marshall of The Athletic. He's good with numbers and stuff. And with videotape and breaking things down. So we'll ask them, Pens Canadiens in a best of five. What do we expect from that? What do we expect from the NHL's 2014 playoff in general? What do we expect from college football this fall? What's it going to look like? It's going to look very different when teams get back to practicing in the next couple of weeks. That includes, well, Pitt football, and our Pitt pre- and post-game host, Cale Berger, joins me now. You can join us as well. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminding you to text responsibly. So June 8th, they're going to welcome student-athletes back to campus at Pitt, Cale, and it sounds like it's going to look very different for Pitt football players in particular, a high contact sport, a collision sport. Yet they'll somehow have to socially distance themselves in meetings and uphold all those cleanliness standards. How the heck do you practice football when you're worried about coronavirus?
Well, first, Chris, good morning. Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me on. I have the same exact question. Got the release the other day that they're going to be coming back on June 8th. Players are going to undergo a quarantine period. Didn't say specifically how long that's going to be. But they'll undergo a quarantine period, and then when they go back to on-field drills and into the meeting rooms, it's going to be a limit of 10 players at a time. But you're right. That's the kind of question that I have with all of this with football returning. You know, we've seen how much trouble that, you know, baseball has had and other sports are trying to do it. But, you know, if there's one sport that really doesn't really lend itself to social distancing more than the others, it's probably football. So that's the real concern and question that I have is, you know, when it comes to months down the road, how are they going to be able to deal with this? How are they going to be able to ensure that guys stay healthy? But for right now, I mean, if you got 10 guys in a workout group and a coach with them, an assistant coach with them, I think there's a way to keep these guys separated, to keep them all healthy, especially if they quarantine when they first get there. But I think that down the road, 2 months from now, because they plan on starting training camp in August as planned and as normal. So that'll be interesting to me to see, you know, how this continues over the next few months.
It seems to me, at least, Cale, and I think some others have noticed too, that ACC programs seem to have moved a little more slowly, a little more deliberately, up to this point anyway, in addressing the idea of playing football and maybe even football in front of a limited number of fans this fall than compared to their Big Ten, Big 12, and SEC brethren. Do you expect that games will be played this fall with people in the stands at Heinz?
I expect the games will be played. I'm pretty much 50-50 at this point of whether there will be fans in the stands or not. I do anticipate that they will find a way to get probably get the students back on campus. I think there will probably be a way to get the players back on the field to play. But it's not my anticipation that there will be fans in the stands. I just think that, you know, with there not being a vaccine yet, with still so much we don't know about this, and even though we are starting to open up here, I think people, too, are still a little skittish and wary about this. I know that I am. And I think that when it comes to August to September, I don't think that people, maybe I don't think people in the public will feel necessarily okay enough in their own minds to go out and stand in a crowd of 30,000 people or 20,000 people, whatever it is. But I also don't think that the universities and the schools are going to take that risk and put people all into this big, you know, into this big gathering together. I think they're just going to come down with a hard line and say, listen, we're going to play the game. We're going to get the student athletes and everyone back, but we're not going to have fans in the stands because until you have a vaccine, I don't think that's something that's realistic for any of the sports to have all these people in this confined space together, whether it's outside or not. So that really is not my anticipation that they're going to have fans, but I do think they will play.
Cale Berger is our Pitt football pre- and post-game host. He joins me here on 93.7 The Fan this morning. So what happens then, Cale, in your opinion, when we get the first positive test for an athlete? Because I think, I don't want to say it's inevitable, because, for example, the English Premier League has gone now, their latest round of testing, thousands of people being tested, no positive cases in their latest round of testing as they get ready to start matches again. So maybe it's possible that we'll go through an entire season without one person testing positive, and that would be fantastic if we can. But what do you think, and not Pitt-specific maybe, but college football in general, how do you think programs handle it when a player tests positive? Will it be as simple as pulling that player out and setting them aside for a couple of weeks? Or do you anticipate, you know, descheduling of games, shutdowns of programs? Will it go that far?
Well, I think that, first off, like you said, that is the best case scenario, is that no one tests positive. But, you know, we still have so much we don't know about this virus and how this is all going to work, especially, you know, a few months down the road. So, you know, I think what they'll end up doing is if they do have, you know, a positive test, you know, one player ends up testing positive. Because I assume the testing infrastructure will be similar to what we've seen, you know, that they've started in Germany in the Bundesliga or, you know, some of the other kind of smaller scale sports, even that are starting to get underway. I think they're going to do testing every day. Before you go out to the practice field, they're going to do some sort of testing. They're going to try and figure out and make sure that everyone's healthy. You're going to take temperatures and all that stuff. So that's the protocol I think they're going to put in. And obviously, you know, good for Pitt that they have the resources of UPMC, some of the best in the world, some of the best doctors in the world, that's what they're getting their guidelines and their guidance from. But I think that if they get a positive test, I think that probably what the plan is, what my expectation would be, is if it's one player, then you take that player out, you quarantine him for 2 weeks, and then you see what it is. But then you also got to make sure that you test everybody else. If it's 5, 6, 7, 10 players, what if it's an entire position group? I think that's where this thing can really go off the rails, and they got to be very careful, because if you have, you know, if you have one player, you have a chance that player is probably infected, I don't know, 10 other players or something. But, you know, what if it's 10 players on the team or something? Because that's, I think, where it's a really slippery slope, and they need to make sure they're really vigilant on this, is because there is a chance, I think, that if one player gets sick and they're not right on top of it, that it could really spread through an entire team, and that's kind of the risk they run. But I think Pitt especially has the right guidance and the right infrastructure they're trying to put in place to make sure that doesn't happen. But that would be my anticipation. But I also I'm not very sure that they're going to shut down entire programs or something. But I think it could be something really interesting to see next fall if they say, oh, so-and-so is doubtful today or so-and-so is out because, you know, and that's just going to be something that's a game-time decision. We'll find out on Saturday morning because of the type of testing they're going to be doing.
Cale Berger is with us. He's our Pitt football pre- and post-game host here on 93.7 The Fan. He's also my go-to resource for any and all NBA information because he's an NBA super fan. And I have no idea what the return-to-play plan looks like for the NBA now, Cale. I've heard 16 teams. I've heard 72 teams. I've heard everything in between. I've heard round robin. I've heard just all kinds. What's going on with the NBA? Because at one point it seemed like they were the most organized in trying to get back to play. But now it sounds like things are starting to go off the rails after that Board of Governors call on Thursday, and they can't come to any consensus.
Yeah, well, let me. It is kind of confusing, so let me try and break it down for you here. So basically, I want to say it was on Friday. A report came out from The Athletic that the NBA is shooting for a July 31st start date. So that's the hard plan. End of July is when they want to get things going. And there's four plans that are on the table right now. The most likely one that they're trying to pursue is a 22-team return. So obviously eight teams, the bottom tiers of each conference aren't going to be included because, you know, what's the point anyway? It seems like, you know, the Hawks or the Cavs or the Warriors or teams like that. And it's going to include some regular season games that to finish out kind of the schedule, because most teams have played about 65, 67 games at this point. And then they're going to have a play-in tourney for the final few playoff spots, because among the six conferences, you have six teams in total right now that are within six games of the AC in their respective conferences. And they want to try and get that sorted out right there, because that was the anticipation that they would get that figured out in the next final 15 or 17 games or so. I think the other thing of why they want to do that kind of play-in tourney is because right now you have the New Orleans Pelicans. I don't have the standings right in front of me, but they're like the 10 seed. And they're like three games out of the playoff spot in the Western Conference. Who plays for the Pelicans? Obviously, Zion Williamson. The NBA, I think, and this is something that Brian Windhorst reported on ESPN earlier this week, that they were trying to do what they can and make it as easy as possible for Zion Williamson to get in there, because he's obviously one of the biggest and brightest stars, and their anticipation was he wasn't going to be in the playoffs. But they're trying to do what they can with this new situation to get an opportunity so they can get one of their brightest young stars in the postseason tournament if they can. The other ideas are a 2018 first-stage World Cup-style thing. I'm not sure how that necessarily would work, especially with some of the top – if you're the Lakers, I mean, why would you have to play a group stage and try and play your way into the playoffs or something? But they also have just 16 teams straight playoffs like they're normally doing. Whoever's already in the playoff field will go straight to the playoffs. And then the last one that's probably the least likely plan is just they bring all 30 teams back. But I think that probably isn't really going to work because, like I said, a lot of those teams are so far out of contention in the first place. Why do you run the risk of adding more players into the mix, more bodies, more potential people that you know, could carry this virus or be affected by this virus? Why would you bring those teams in if they have no realistic shot to end up winning an NBA title, obviously? I think it's just adding additional variables that aren't necessary considering where those teams are in the standings.
Kale, is it a Rubbermaid trash can that you're calling me from the bottom of, or is it a cave?
I'm actually outside my house right now.
Okay. Maybe for your birthday I'll get you a new phone.
It's in about 30 days, but I'd appreciate that.
I had to bust your chops a little, buddy. Thanks for the time this morning. Seriously, I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Chris. Thanks for having me on.